Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 41. Dishyamba te kukshigataha para puma amshena shakshad Bhagavan Bhavaya Naha Mabu Vaya Bojapater Mamurshur Gopta Yaduna Bhavita Tavatmajaha Dishyambate kukshigata para puman. Amshena sakshad Bhagavan bhavaya naha. Mabud bhayam boja pater mamushor. Gopta yadunam bhavita tavat majaha. Dishyambate kukshikata para puman. Amsena sakshad bhagavan bhavayanaha. Mabud bhayam boja pater mamushor. Gopta yadunam bhavita atavat majaha. Dishyambate kukshikata para puman. Amshena sakshad Bhagavan bhavayanaha. Mabud bhayam boja pater mamushor. Gopta yadunam bhavita tavat majaha. Shikrapapuman Amsena sakshad Bhagavan bhavaya naha. Unaram loja pater mamushor. Kamayodunam bhavita tavad majar. Dishyatate kukshikata para puman. Amsena sakshad Bhagavan bhavayanaha. Udvayam boja pate mamushor. Vaishnavis. Shabate Kukshi Gata Parapaman. Am Saina Shaksha Bhagavan Bhavayana. Patema Mukshur. Uttabhu Nam Bhavita Tavatma Jaha. Shatare Kukshi Tatma Paman. Am Shaina Saksha Bhagavan Pranayana. Dishya, by fortune, Amba, O mother, te, your, Kukshigataha, in the womb, Paraha, the supreme, Puman, personality of Godhead, Amshena, with all his energies, his parts and parcels. Sakshad, directly. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavaya, for the auspiciousness. Naha, of all of us. Ma'abut, never be. Bayam, fearful. Bhoja Patehe, from Kamsa, king of the Bhoja dynasty. Mumurshaho, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Gopta, the protector. Yaduna, of the Yadu dynasty. Bhavita, will become. Tavaatmajaha, your son. A translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, with all His plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Please repeat. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, with all His plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport. The words Para Puman Amshena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, This is the verdict of the Shastras, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Thus the demigods assured Devaki, quote, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity toward the Lord and thus be killed by him. End quote. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the last of the prayers of the demigods. There's one more verse in this chapter, which someone will speak on tomorrow. But this is the last prayer of the demigods. And we see that there were two purposes of the prayers. The demigods were glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had appeared in the womb of Devaki. And we can see they're also reassuring Devaki that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared within her womb, she will be protected. She won't have to fear Kamsa, and neither will any of the members of the Yadu dynasty have to fear him, because the Lord will protect them. That's one of the purposes of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya judushkutam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I appear specifically to protect the devotees, to annihilate the demoniac, and to establish the principles of religion. And we should understand these things. Janma karma chame divyam evamyaveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjana. The Lord also says in the Bhagavad Gita that these events, these pastimes of his appearance and disappearance, they're all transcendental. And if one properly understands them, one becomes qualified to enter into those pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, it's like a big stage performance that Krishna is putting on, and there are many personalities who are taking part in it. There are the demigods, there are the demons, there's Krishna himself, there are his pure devotee associates who take birth in the material world to assist them in the pastimes, the demigods also. Actually, if we go back to the beginning of these chapters, we see that one of the demigods, a demigoddess, Bhumi, is concerned because of the buildup of vast military forces, and they were a burden to her. So she went to the chief demigod and the other demigods and expressed her concern. And she wanted some help, some relief from the difficulty, that she was feeling. So then Lord Brahma and all the demigods went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they prayed to Lord Vishnu. You know, just like, you know, the demigods are praying here, they were all gathered together in the beginning of this event to pray. And Vishnu responded to them, yes, I'm aware of all these things, and I'm going to be doing something about it. I'm going to be appearing very soon. And he told the demigods also, I want you to appear to assist me in these pastimes that I'm going to be displaying. So it's there's not a whole lot of information given in the Srimad Bhagavatam about exactly which positions that specific demigods took up in the Lord's pastimes. There are some are mentioned. One prominent one is that Yamaraj appeared as Vidura in these pastimes. Vidura was the Sudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandava. Yeah, he was conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of a maidservant in their family. So actually he wasn't a Sudra, really. I mean, that's just a social understanding. You know, he was Yamaraj, who was one of the 12 Mahajans. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains there were some additional reasons why he took up that role. A long time ago, according to a purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote about this, there were some thieves, some criminals, murderers, and they had committed some heinous activities, and they had, as criminals do, fled, and the police were after them, and they took shelter in the ashram of a sage named Manduka Muni. And then the police came and they arrested everybody. Srila Prabhupada says, as they sometimes do. You know, you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So he was swept up, Manduka Muni was swept up with these criminals, taken before the magistrate, Srila Prabhupada says, and the magistrate sentenced them all to be punished. And particularly, Manduka Muni was sentenced to be punished by death by a lance. And he was to be pierced by a lance. And Srila Prabhupada explains the king of the area, he found out about this, and before the sentence could actually be executed, he released Manduka Muni, apologized to him, and Manduka Muni went his way, but he wanted to know, well, why did this happen? So he went to Yamaraj, who is the Lord of Death, and is responsible for, you know, delivering, you know, the karma of the living entities in their different lives. And he wanted to know, well, why, I mean, as far as I can tell, I've never committed any sinful activities in my whole life. So why was this punishment, which is ultimately under your control, why was it being administered to me? And Yamaraj told him, well, when you were a little boy, once you took a thorn and you pierced an insect, a little ant. And therefore, that's why this was going to happen to you. And Manduka Muni said, that seems a little bit harsh. So he cursed Yamaraj to take birth as a Sudra. So sometimes these things happen in the pastimes of the Lord. So that's an example of one of the demigods who took birth to take part in these pastimes of the Lord. Of course, different demons also took birth to play their roles in these conflicts, like the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, took birth in Krishna Leela as Sishupal and Dantavakra to play their roles. So, we can see that different personalities from different parts of the universe were taking birth and appearing on Earth to participate in these pastimes. And, sometimes, I speak about these things to people who are interested in the topic of extraterrestrials. There are people who are in this world who are interested in UFOs and extraterrestrial beings and things like that. And they sometimes talk about, extraterrestrial beings are visiting the Earth, and there's there have been a whole series of movies, like Star Wars, and things like that, based on extraterrestrials and battles between the forces of good and evil in the universe. And I explained to them that there's actually a factual basis for all of this in the Vedic literatures, the Vedic histories, the Puranas, like the Bhagavat Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam, where these things are explained, who actually the forces of good are, who actually the forces of evil are, what are their positions in the universe, what's our position in the universe, and how these things take place. For example, just recently, one of these extraterrestrial kind of researchers who's writing a book got in touch with me, and he interviewed me, and he's going to print my interview as a chapter in his book. I kind of talk about these things to people to give them an idea that there's an expanded conception of what it means to be an extraterrestrial, because usually they have some extremely limited concept of what an extraterrestrial is, a little green man from Mars, or what they call grays, like... But I explain to them there are all kinds of... extraterrestrial beings that visit the Earth. And we're getting examples of that here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is from the spiritual world. He descends from the spiritual world. There's the concept of avatar. You know, there was some movie called Avatar a few years ago. Again, they have a very limited conception of what it means, but the real meaning of these things is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the other Vedic literatures. You know, Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world to the material world. And this whole pastime we're reading about now is leading up to the appearance of the Supreme Lord in this world. And he has his purpose. It's part of the ultimate Star Wars. You know, Krishna is coming. We're learning to protect the righteous devotees of the Lord and destroy the demoniac. And there's going to be huge episodes of these kinds of struggles going on. They're very instructive and they're also entertaining. So, and then there are different assistants that are going to take part in all this. You know, the demigods, they're also extraterrestrial beings. You know, they live on their planets within the higher material planets within this universe. Within this material universe, there are the higher, subtle, material, heavenly planets. And then there's the terrestrial realm that we live in. And then below that, there are the subterranean, heavenly planets, and then the hellish, material planets. And they're all inhabited. So there are all kinds of extraterrestrial beings. And one thing, you know, I try to get across to the people who are interested in these topics is that as conscious beings, jivas, we're all extraterrestrials. None of us is from this earth, ultimately. We're all from, you know, some higher dimension of reality. The spiritual world, ultimately. Mamaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, manasastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains our position. You're an eternal spirit soul. He says, you're my part and parcel. You're part of me. That's what you really are. But where are you now? You are now prakritishtani karshati. You're struggling in the world of matter, covered by the material mind and the material senses, although you are really an eternal part of me. So what does Krishna recommend? Sarva dharma pradyaja mamakam sharanam vraja. Just give up all your false duties that you've manufactured in connection with your material mind and body, and just surrender once more to me. So Krishna is coming to give the conditioned souls who've forgotten their eternal spiritual identities. He's reminding them of their original spiritual identity. And he's going to display his pastimes in order to attract the forgetful conditioned souls to their original identities and what they're really meant to be doing. We're here because we've misused our free will. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakari Nikatashta Mayatare Japati Adare. When we turn our face from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukha means we turn our face from Krishna. Why? Bhogavanchakari. Because we want to enjoy independently from Krishna. And then, when we make that decision, well, Maya, the material energy, is there to capture us and give us a field of activities. But Krishna doesn't forget us. He comes himself to this material world, and he puts on a whole show to remind us and attract us back to our real spiritual nature. And that's what's going on here. He's now in the womb of Devaki. He's getting ready to come out and display his pastimes. And he's told the demigods to take birth also, appear also in this world to assist him in his pastimes. And for 125 years, Krishna is going to display his different pastimes in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka. He's going to take part in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He's going to perform so many pastimes that are going to be recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata, and other Vedic literatures for the benefit of the souls who are trapped in this world. So, when Krishna wound up his pastimes, it's described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. He was getting ready to himself withdraw his manifest presence in this world. And he was in Dwarka at that time. And it said that all of his associates that were in the category of demigods who had come to take part in his pastimes, he sent to Prabhas, which is a place near Dwarka, where he arranged for them to disappear in a fratricidal battle with each other. And they became intoxicated. That's how he chose to send those demigods, like including Vidura, who was Yamaraj, back to their positions in the demigod planets. His other associates, who were his eternal associates from the spiritual world, who had come, remained in Dwarka, you know, it said. So there's all kinds of things that are going on with these demigods. And today, we are fortunate to be able to be participating in the pastimes of another avatar, the golden avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We've been recruited to take part in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. So, just like in Krishna's pastimes, some demigods came, some eternal associates came, and then also different personalities were recruited from the souls in the world to take part in his pastimes. So it's similar with the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya appeared very recently. He was accompanied by his eternal associates. Demigods took birth to take part in his lila, and also conditioned souls are being, like ourselves, are being recruited to take part in these lila. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Brigapati Prabhu.
Thank you. Nice class. When Yamaraj was here as Vidura, did he know he was Yamaraj? The reason I ask that is because I'm just trying to understand just this morning Svavas was reading from the Bhagavatam and it was saying how there's yakshas and rakshasas and they're present here on the earth now. And Prabhupada said in one lecture he gave in about 1965 or 6 in New York that this material world is being managed by rakshasas, man-eating demons who will crush their own sons for the satisfaction of their senses. So I'm just wondering, are these personalities aware of their former identity? Or is it?
Let's take, you asked specifically about Vidura.
Uh-huh.
So Vidura was taking instruction from Maitreya. And it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Maitreya told Vidura, I know you're Yamaraj and you were cursed, you know, by Manduka Muni. That's directly stated in the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. So he was told to take instruction from Maitreya, and Maitreya told him about his identity. So I would say yes.
In his case,
he did know his real identity.
What about
as I said, not a lot of information is given about exactly what demigods took up, exactly which positions and what they did, but in the case of Vidura, it is definitely mentioned in the Bhagavatam that he was Yamaraj.
So what's your opinion?
And he did, I think because Maitreya told him, he knew it.
What about the Rakshasas and the Yakshas who are managing the world now? Prabhupada said this material world is being managed by Rakshasas. So do they know that they're Rakshasas? Are they just people like us who just have those qualities? Or are they actually conscious of the fact that actually I'm so-and-so?
Well, the best thing is to answer a question is to have something directly from Guru, Shastra, or Sadhu to give as evidence. And at the moment, nothing that comes to my mind I could only speculate. So I would say we accept the statements that we have. If anybody knows anything, they can contribute it. Okay. Hey, Kashma, then we'll stop.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, maybe somebody can confirm this, but I recall from the Mahabharata that in the beginning, apparently Duryodhana didn't know who he was, but at a certain point, that was revealed to him by the Danavas or something like that. Does anybody confirm that?
Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.